Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Keep My Commandments when we come back. You know, here's an interesting statement. It says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" We read that in Acts 5, verse 29. You know, that's a pretty revolutionary concept. But it's impossible to put into practice unless you personally know the law. Now, can you imagine yourself actually telling a policeman or a judge that the law of God supersedes the law of the state? Well, you know, there's actually three laws that support Peter's position in Acts 5, verse 29. The First Amendment to our Constitution is number one. Public Law 97-280 is the second, and the Supreme Court put some frosting on the case, or on the cake rather, in a case called Seeger versus United States, decided back in the 1960s. Now, do you know the scriptural law to cite in support of your position on, say, the census or public school, Social Security, vaccinations, or the myriad other laws of the scripture that conflict with the laws of your state? And do you know how to look them up, research them out, or code plead the law to use the scripture to defend yourself against state and federal incursions into your personal rights? Because if you don't know the law of the scripture, and you don't know the law of your state, then you're not in any kind of a position to challenge either one, are you? So if you're tired of being a biblical illiterate with the police and public officials kicking sand in your face, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? It's a 4-hour commentary. It's a place to start. It's a commentary on the law in general. And it's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now for yourself. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, I teach a school. We call it the Mosaic Law School. That's available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, just go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about Keep My Commandments. Keep My Commandments appears in the Scripture 172 times. So God has not been lax or slack in telling us over and over and over again like a teenage kid, "Hey, listen, pay attention, kid. Pay attention. Wake up. Pay attention. Listen up. I'm going to tell you what the answer to this riddle is." Now, the Scripture contains 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. The Creator of the universe, the Creator God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I can't speak for the rest of these gods out here, but this God here in the Scripture says, "I can run the whole universe on these 759 laws." And last time I pointed out to you that, 2.5 million laws impairs your liberty to a very significant degree. I mean, we got laws here in the United States, like traffic laws, 2,000 of them in our traffic code. And then if you're a manufacturer, like I used to be in the manufacturing business, there were 726 laws in the OSHA code. 726 laws just in the OSHA code regulating businesses that are in manufacturing. And then on and on and on this goes. It totals some 2.5 million laws here in the United States. Just a mind-boggling number of laws that tells you you can't spit on the sidewalk here, and you can't walk your dog down that street, and all this crap that goes on. God didn't restrict your liberty. In fact, the Bible is called the perfect law of liberty. And that's because the Bible has fewer laws to regulate you than your state or your county or your city. or your national government. Basic laws that tell you that you have to conduct yourself in such a way that you don't impose upon or that you don't deprive your neighbor of his life, his liberty, or his property. And so the basics, when you get down on the final analysis, is called life, liberty, and property. In fact, our founding fathers wrote that right into the Declaration of Independence and into our Constitution. The purpose of government is to protect you and your lives, your liberties, and your property. That's government's function. Now, the government has taken on a lot of other functions. I mean, they want to tell you how to educate your kid and how to discipline your kid, and then they want to take your kid away from you, and they call that social lady. And, you know, we got all these laws over here, and you know, maybe they've got some points to them. But I showed you last time that the creator of the universe said he didn't want you adding to this. He said he didn't really think that you were smart enough or had enough intelligence to create law. So he said, don't do that. And that was in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. He repeated that a second time. He thought it was pretty important. So in Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, he said the same thing a second time. So when I look in the scripture and I see a law repeated twice, that means it's probably pretty important. If it's repeated 3, 4, or 5 times, then it's even more important than the law that said, don't do that or do this. And then when it's repeated 172 times, I say, wow, he's getting kind of emphatic. So, commandments is plural, and he says, keep my commandments plural. There's 759 of them, and these 759 laws are organized into 133 subject matters. I know, because I researched it out, code-pled it out, and then I wrote a book. In fact, I wrote 3 books on that subject. They're about 500 pages each. That's about 1,500 pages that I've compiled all of these laws, all 759 of them. Some guy wrote me a letter one day, and he said, well, the Jews say there's 613. Well, okay. I'm not a Jew, and I'm not here to contradict them. Maybe they've got 613 laws. I don't know. I added them up. I counted them all. I got 759. I think they were short a few. Why don't you check us out? Get their list, compare it to my list, then compare it to the scripture and see who's right. I got 759. Now, these laws are organized, though, into 133 titles. So if you take a look at the thousands and thousands of laws in the United States Code, you'll find that they're organized into 50 subject matters, 50 titles. All the tax laws are in Title 26. All the criminal laws are in Title 18. Well, God works the same way. If you take adultery, and you just looked up all of the laws that apply to adultery and sexual misconduct, and you put them all together, how many statutes would you have? Well, you'd have a bunch, probably 50 or 75. Well, I won't say 50 or 75. I haven't got them right in front of me. But there's a bunch. There's 30 anyway. 30. I could definitely say that. And there might be as many as 50 or 75, but there's 30. And so we take all of these statutes and we organize them, and we code-plead them out. Now, last time I pointed out that in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 13, God said he's going to write the scripture line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and he had a reason. He said, so that they, that's you, might fall backward, be broken and snared and taken. And I explained a couple of 3 points. You know, for instance, you may be a 14-year-old teenage girl, and you have venereal warts that you got from sex education class where they explained to you that you should be a warm, loving girl, and you should be out putting out to all the boys in the class. And you did that, and you picked up this sexually transmitted disease. Young lady, you are paying the penalty for a crime. You committed a crime called fornication, and I guess nobody explained that to you. Or maybe they just plain lied to you and said, well, sex is fine. There's no laws that bind you. Well, I want to tell you, kids, when you get a sexually transmitted disease, whether it's venereal warts or herpes or AIDS or gonorrhea or something, that's a penalty that you pay for the violation of one of these sex crimes, one of these adultery crimes. That's all. It's just that simple. And it's automatic and it's invisible and you can't see these little germs and these little viruses, but they're there. And Now, people like me, you know, I'm an old fogey, and I'm just an old farm guy over here, and I just got one wife. I don't have 16. And with my one wife, I just have sexual relations with that one woman, and I'm an old man now, pushing 70, and I don't have any sexually transmitted disease, and I'm not going to get one. How do you like that? Now, I'm not going to get one as long as I don't violate one of these statutes that relate to adultery. Now, I'm just like anybody else, you know. If I go down here to Flo's Whorehouse or I go down here to O'Leary's Bar and pick up some slut off of the floor, you know, I could come down with some kind of a venereal disease. You know, if I go out and practice sodomy, or I get out here and get to playing around, and I violate these laws, yeah, I'm just as subject to getting disease as anybody else. And that's why I'm very careful about obeying all the laws all the time. And that's what your state wants you to do with the traffic laws. They want you to obey all the traffic laws all the time, and then you won't ever get a ticket. And then if you break the law, then they give you a ticket. If you don't, well, then you go home free. Now, Jesus weighed in on the subject. You know, Jesus of Nazareth, he made a couple of comments about this thing of law. And he said in Matthew 4, verse 4, that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's a pretty all-encompassing statement. You know, for all you Christians out there, that, you know, that sweet Jesus. Now, he said, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is something that you should be living by. Man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, he didn't funk that up all at one time, all by himself in the New Testament there. He actually cited that from the Mosaic Law. He cited that from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Moses wrote it first. So Moses got it from God and wrote it down. Jesus came along and cited Moses, and he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He thought it was so important, he reported it twice. It's in Luke 4, verse 4 also. Matthew 4, 4 and Luke 4, 4. Cited from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. He thought that was pretty important. So I thought I would report that to you because I never heard a preacher report that before. Here's another report I ought to give to you. Jesus made another observation in Matthew 5, verse 17. He says, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, preachers out there, Christian preachers, good guys, nice guys, wonderful guys, good speakers, get up in the pulpit, and they tell you about Jesus and him crucified, and about Paul, and all these religious things over here, and they get real excited, and beat the pulpit, and pound their shoes, and, you know, just give them hell, Harry. But they don't tell you that the law hasn't been abolished and done away with and nailed to the cross. In fact, they're telling you exactly the opposite. They're telling you, you don't have to practice these laws. That you can go out here and just have a good time. You go to sex education class, children, and they tell you, hey, you can go out here and dink around all you want. And it's okay. I don't know what the hell they tell you about AIDS, herpes, and VD, but, you know. Oh, I know. Yeah, they pass out condoms in public schools now down to the fifth grade. Condoms. At taxpayer expense, they're passing out rubbers in your public schools so your children can practice safe sex. Well, excuse me, kids, I don't use rubbers, and I practice pretty safe sex, too. Now, how do I do that? It's because I got one wife, and I don't mess around with anybody else. And I don't mess around with animals, either. I don't practice bestiality. I was watching TV the other night, and Leno, he was cracking some jokes about having sexual relations with animals. And I guess that's pretty funny. Just the thought of it, I guess, is kind of funny. But it's worse than funny. It's perversity. It's an abomination. It's a criminal act, and it's a criminal act that has consequences, and consequences that end up in death. It's got a capital felony attached to it. So I'd say that was pretty heavy duty. So, you know, here's the preachers, they're running around over here telling you, hey, listen, the Bible doesn't mean what it says, and Jesus nailed the law to the cross, and you don't have to follow that law anymore, and you're freed from it, and Jesus understands all your weaknesses over there. And I'm just a reporter, kids, but I came in and said, no, I didn't see that. In fact, I'm going to report something to you. Let me report this to you. He went on to say, he says, till heaven and earth pass, and one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, kids, I don't think you people are fulfilling this law. Honest to God, I don't think so. And he said, heaven and earth would pass away. Well, last time I checked, the heavens were still out there. I looked out there last night, and they were still there. The earth, as far as I can tell this morning, as I sit here at the microphone, is still here. Heaven and earth have not passed away, kids. And they said one more thing. He said, whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, that is, these lesser laws, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Well, I looked at that and I said, well, do I want to be called least in the kingdom of heaven, or do I want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven? So let's take a look at a couple of three of these lesser laws. Let's look at Leviticus 19:19. Here's a good one. In Leviticus 19, verse 19, we read these words. It says, you shall keep my statutes. Well, that's like keep my commandments, isn't it? He starts off with a statement. He says, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your cattle gender with a diverse kind. You shall not sow your field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon you. All right. Sounds like a pretty lesser commandment. Let's take the last of the three. Leviticus 19, verse 19. Can you remember that? 19:19. Can you remember the year that the great Spanish flu epidemic ravaged America in 1919? Can you remember that, boys and girls? Then when you go home, you know, and you get out of your car, you're running out. Hey, let me look at Leviticus 19:19. Can you remember Leviticus, Levitical priesthood, 19:19, the great Spanish flu? Then run in there and look. And here's three statutes in one verse. And he says, don't let a garment mingled with linen and wool come upon you. Now, that's called mixed fabric. Now, next time you go into a Walmart store, pay attention to the label in the neck of the shirt or the label that's on the socks and just read the ingredients that's in that garment. And it'll say something like, you know, it's 85% cotton and 15% nylon or rayon or some other fabric in there, mixed fabric. Almost all clothes here in the United States have mixed fabric, and they're a little cheaper. Now, when you go up the scale a little bit, you can buy 100% cotton or 100% wool socks. You won't find those in Walmart because they don't handle more expensive things, but you can find those. And then when you go to a suit shop, you know, you can get 100% silk suit. You can get 100% wool suit. You know, you can get 100%. You can buy Levi's, they're 100% cotton. You know, denim is typically 100% cotton. And but if you'll take a look, you'll find that there's a lot of clothes out there that are mixed fabrics. Now, Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then in Leviticus 19:19, we find some words that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And he said, don't wear mingled fabric. Now, the guy pointed that out and he said, oh, wait a minute. He didn't say, don't wear socks that are mingled with a cotton and nylon. He said, linen and wool. So it's all right if we mix cotton with wool or silk with cotton. That's okay, he told me, because we don't have a specific statute here that prohibits, you know, nylon and cotton. Oh, God, I was just real glad this guy came along and interpreted that for me. Now, I want to point out that the scriptures have no private interpretation. and there's a statute in here tells us not to do that. And then those of us that are trained in the law, we come along and we say, okay, and for most people, they need 3.5 million laws to specifically tell them how to live their lives, when to get up in the morning, when to go to bed at night, and what to do in between. People whose brains work like that need some kind of direct guidance continually. Now, for the rest of us, that is, the 5 or 6 of us that don't need direct supervision constantly, let's look at that again. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon you. Well, how about cotton and silk? Could we wear cotton and silk? No. No. Now, you know, some guy comes along and he says, "Well, what about my underwear?" Well, there's another statute in here. It's in Deuteronomy 22, verses 9 and 11, which deals with this thing of fabrics. So let me just flip over here to Deuteronomy 22, and it adds a little bit more to it. So let me see if I can find Deuteronomy 22 for you. Be patient with me, you know, being a crummy reporter here. Verse 11 says, "You shall not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together." Oh, diverse sorts. So that's what code pleading is all about. So we take a look at clothes in the Bible and we find out, oh, it's diverse sorts, such as linen and wool. All right, now do you need a roadmap? Anytime you've got a garment and the garment has mixed fabrics in it, you're not to wear it, irrespective of what the product is. That make any difference if it's linen or wool or silk or cotton or rayon or nylon or 55 other varieties of fabric. If they're mixed, don't wear them. So if you're wearing nylon stockings, that's a synthetic fabric. That follows that statute. Now, synthetic fabrics are bad for you on other grounds, but then that's another subject for another day, but it doesn't violate that statute. But anytime you got mixed fabrics, that is, you've got nylon and any other substance, that violates that statute or that principle of law. Now, somebody's going to say, but so what? Well, here's the so what. The creator of the universe told you not to do it. And if you do it, there's a penalty. And some guy's going to write me an email and say, well, what in the hell's the penalty? Okay. Well, let me tell you what the penalty is. Your body is a battery. And in order for you to get a signal, now I'm going to sit here at my desk and I'm going to wiggle my little finger. So you're sitting there driving your car now down the freeway. Just look down on your steering wheel there and wiggle your little finger. And let me explain to you why you're doing that and how that works. See, up in your brain, I told you, wiggle your little finger. And there you are wiggling your little finger. Now, how in the hell can you wiggle your little finger? Well, from up in your brain to get down to your little finger, you got these little neural connectors. And across each one of those neural connectors over there, there's some electricity firing across those, which controls that finger so that you can move it, and you can move it at will any way you want to. You can kind of fold it at that knuckle, and you can kind of fold both knuckles. You can tuck it down into your hand. You can ball your hand up into a fist. You know, you can move things around. It's done by electricity. So one time I was up at the Acres Convention, and we had a guy up there that had a machine, and he was demonstrating scientifically how this works. And so he was measuring the aura. Now, we have a scientific process, called Curlian photography. You can actually photograph the electrical aura around your body. Did you know that? So around your body, extending out from you, is this aura. It's a shield. It's an electrical field. Did you know that? All right, well, now you do. I just told you. And this electrical field has got different sizes to it. Some people's electrical field reaches out as far as 11 feet, and some of them are as close as 6 inches. And when you wear mingled fabrics, or artificial fabrics for that matter, man-made fabrics, it will impair your electrical aura. Now, what does your aura do? I don't know. And God didn't explain that to us. He just gave us this law, and it said, don't do that. Kind of like my daddy used to tell me, go to bed at 8 o'clock. Didn't explain to me why. Didn't explain to me all the benefits of getting 8 hours of sleep or getting plenty of rest when you're a child. He didn't waste any time at all. He just said, get your butt into bed. Now. See? And so here's God. He just comes along with two statutes and says, don't wear mingled fabric. Doesn't explain to you the science behind it until Jerry Friedenstein showed up at the Acres Convention and said, well, let me explain it to you. Let me show you scientifically how this impairs. So he was showing people with mixed fabrics and artificial fabrics and people that were wearing 100% fabrics how different their auras were from their bodies. My wife test at 11 feet. I tested 9 feet. They had a guy there wearing a polyester suit that measured 6 inches. 6 inches. And then there was people that measured in between, depending upon, you know, how much they were wearing. Now, I don't know what that electrical aura does. I do know about the neural connectors. Maybe we need a little more scientific research, but here's science in the Bible. Here's your creator comes along and says, don't wear mingled fabrics. Jerry Friedenstein comes along and says, let me explain to you that we can identify what happens when you wear mingled fabrics. We don't know why. It has something to do with your nervous system and the electrical field around your body. All right, now let's take a look at a second one here. He said in this same Leviticus 19:19, he said, you shall not sow your field with mingled seed. So you ought not to be sowing your field with mixed seed, hybridized seed, cloned seed, genetically modified seed. Why is that? That's a lot easier question to answer. A whole lot easier question to answer. Because we have a lot of science on this. There's a tremendous amount of science. And what it deals with primarily is the amount of nutrients that are contained in the seed itself. Now, you know, the purpose, when you get down on the bottom line, the purpose for seed or food is nutrients. And so what happens when we eat food that has nutrient deficiencies in them is that we don't get the nutrients. We suffer from nutrient deficiencies. We come down with dis-ease, ill at ease, because we don't eat enough of the nutrients. Just that simple. There's other health problems. I'm not going to get into all the health angles of it, but the bottom line on the seed portion of it is that the nutrients aren't there. Doesn't have as much protein. Doesn't have as much in the way of minerals, essential fatty acids, and so on. When you hybridize, now you get more bushels per acre. You get higher yields. I don't deny that. So instead of getting 30 or 40 bushels of wheat to an acre that has, that's filled or loaded with vitamins and minerals, 24% protein is what they used to get in the 1880s out of Kansas. Now you get 7 to 13% protein, but my God, you get 100 bushels to the acre. And then along with the 100 bushels to the acre, you get a 50% cancer rate here in the United States. So if you want more cancer, muscular dystrophy, you want more Parkinson's disease, then you want more bushels to the acre, and you want more hybridization, you want more genetic modification. God bless you, get after it. I don't want to buy that. I don't want to buy that product. And so I don't buy hybridized seed, I buy open pollinated seed. And that's what I eat. I not only plant open-pollinated, I eat open-pollinated. And I'm pushing 70 and I don't wear glasses. And I don't have a hearing aid. And I don't have a cane. And I don't have palsy. I don't have deficiency diseases. Now, I have had in the past, and I haven't had the best of health, but then that was when I was a pig-eating Christian and I wasn't following these laws. So I just thought I'd bring this to your attention because I don't hear preachers crying aloud and sparing not. I don't hear preachers in the pulpit explaining why it is that Leviticus 19:19 makes sense and why it's scientific. Now, there's 133 of these laws in the Bible. 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. And we should be able to figure out already that the Creator, that is your designer, your Creator, he said, you know, I need to tell this guy, I need to warn this guy about eating fat, about eating blood, about eating pig. I got to tell him about shrimp and lobster and clams and oysters and crabs. Because if I don't tell them, they're probably going to eat them. And then they're going to come down with some kind of a disease. And it'll be my fault. And so in order to be blameless, he gave you these laws. He said, now listen to my commandments. Keep my commandments. Don't eat pig. Don't eat fat. Don't eat blood. Do eat meat with animals that have cloven hooves and chew their cud. Do eat fish that have fins and scales. And do eat birds that have three toes forward, one back, and sing a song. And so he said, this is what you eat, this is what you don't eat. This is what you plant, this is what you don't plant. This is what you do, this is what you don't do. Hell, didn't your mom and dad do that for you? Didn't they say, don't touch that hot stove? Didn't they buckle you into your child's seat in the back seat to protect you? You know, it was just common sense. We did this so that, you know, you being, you know, a baby, you being a young child, you didn't know that stove was hot. Somebody had to tell you. Somebody who already knew that the stove was hot and would burn you, was going to harm you, protected you from it. Says, no, no, Junior, hot, hot, hurt, hurt. Can't you remember that when you were 18 months old? Then you went over and touched the stove. Anyway, I always said, you know, let the kids touch the stove. You know, after he touches it once, he'll, you know, unless he's brain dead or something, he won't do it twice. Never saw a kid yet ever walked over and touched the stove twice. All right, I got to give you a couple of reminders here, children, and that is that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools total. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. We are open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs of the Roman Catholic Church or the opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of the network or this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417 273-4967. Now, here's a reminder that we're offering a new class on health and healing, which covers the alternative methods, alternative healing methods used in the scripture for the treatment of the healing of the botch of Egypt, commonly known as cancer, which now affects about 50% of Americans. 50% at some time during your lifetime. And we want to show you how to prevent degenerative diseases, abdominal fat, the use and application of essential oils, supernutritional foods containing more nutrients and fewer calories. The class also includes hands-on teaching, paperwork, allergic reaction testing and training so that you can do it at home. We'll talk about acupressure application and training so you can find the pressure points and much, much more to contribute to your ongoing health. Class is coming up February 5th through the 9th. That's February 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 5-day school here in Isabella. If you're interested, then give my wife Jackie a call here at the law school at 417-273-4967. Keep in mind now that my wife is going to be teaching this class. We'll be teaching you from the perspective of a 28-year cancer survival. She was diagnosed with terminal cancer in 1978. Still alive and kicking, doing quite nicely, thank you, with alternative health care. All right, with that out of the way, let's get back to keep my commandments. The third statute in Leviticus 19:19, he says, "You shall keep my statute. You shall not let your cattle gender with a diverse kind." Now, here in the United States, we're really on the cutting edge of technology. I just wanted to point out that here's this archaic old law that goes clear back to Moses some 3,400 years ago. The 3,400 is 1329 B.C., 1329, pushing 3,400 years. And here's Moses, you know, he comes down off the mountain. He says, "Hey, boys and girls, I got this law from God, the creator of the universe." He says, "Don't let your cattle breed with a diverse kind." Now, we have animals called geeps, G-E-E-P-S. That's a cross between a goat and a sheep. And then we have beefalo, and that's where you take American bison, then you breed them to a bull or vice versa, a Holstein bull or a white-faced bull or a Santa Gertrudis or something like that, and you come up with what we call a beefalo. Strictly prohibited here in the scripture, so don't do that. Now somebody's going to say, "Why not? Why not?" And the answer is because you were told not to. Does it require more than that? Well, yeah, here in America it requires more than that. Somebody's got to come up with a good answer. And so I'm a cattle breeder. You know, I'm just old George out here, and I've been breeding cattle for many years. And I just thought I'd tell you that when you breed cattle to a diverse kind or a diverse breed, which isn't strictly prohibited here, breeding within, a kind, you can breed Holsteins and Jerseys. It's just bad practice. But breeding cattle with a diverse kind, like yaks and buffalo, you can do that. Naturally, animals won't do that. Lions won't breed with tigers. I imagine we could probably take a lion and a tiger. They're both cats. We could probably breed them. And probably somebody has tried it. Maybe it doesn't work. I don't know. But now we're getting down to where we're going to clone animals. That's technology for you. And we're going to clone those animals. Even if I could come to you and say, "I haven't got a clue as to why we shouldn't do that. I haven't got a clue why we shouldn't do that." Then why would you come to me and say, "Well, then, if you can't tell me why we shouldn't do it, well, then I'm going to go ahead and do it." Now, I'm sure that the average guy couldn't give you a reason why you shouldn't practice adultery. And your preacher probably couldn't tell you either. So I came along and I said, "Well, because there's a penalty. There's no such thing as a law without a penalty, kids. All of these laws have penalties." Now, if I were to go here to my Mosaic Law book and flip through here to P for penalties, which I'm just going to do. See if I can find penalty here. Passover, perfume, trespass. Come on, perfume. Can I find punishments? Here we go. P for punishment. Chapter 100. And I flip over here and I find that there are a lot of statutes that deal with punishment. And then as I flip over here, I find crimes requiring the death penalty. Such as murder has a penalty called death. Smiting of parents, kidnapping, cursing of parents, abortion, negligent property liability resulting in death, the daylight shooting of a thief. There are 24 capital felonies listed in the Bible, in the scripture. 24 capital felonies. Witchcraft, which in this country we call an alternative or free exercise of religion. It's an alternative religious practice. That's condemned. It's specifically prohibited by the creator of the universe. He said, don't do that. Do not practice witchcraft. That is not an alternative. That is not an acceptable religious practice. I won't buy it. Now, of course, we Americans, you know, we protect it under our Constitution, and we practice witchcraft in this country every day. We celebrate witchcraft on Halloween. We teach witchcraft in our public schools. Now, we won't teach the Ten Commandments in our public schools, but we will teach witchcraft in our public schools. We have a national holiday called Halloween that we will teach our children to practice witchcraft, which is specifically prohibited in the scripture. And it's a capital felony punishable by death. And somebody says, well, my kids have been practicing Halloween. I practiced Halloween. I haven't died yet. But you're going to. You're going to. And that's not the only punishment that you get for practicing witchcraft. There's other penalties that fall upon you as well. Now, but not limited to, including but not limited to. You can be burned, stoned, or hanged. You can be scourged, excommunicated, or your hand cut off. You can die childless. Then there's a penalty called the same as you did to him. Whatever it was that he did to you is done to him. That's in Deuteronomy 19, verses 16 through 21, just in case you didn't know. Then there's forced marriage, national captivity. I'm going to zero in on number 10. Because we Americans, Canadians, Australians, and New Zealanders are sitting on the threshold of national captivity. That's not very fun. Germany went through it in 1945. Japan went through it and are still suffering from American occupation forces. You Germans still have American occupation forces in your country. How do you like it? The German government is a United States puppet government. How do you like it? Japan is a United States puppet government. That's what we have in Iraq and Afghanistan. Two more American puppet governments. Now, of course, the Japanese get to elect their representatives and the Germans get to vote, you know. But in the final analysis, you know, get down on the bottom line. That democratic form of government that you have in Germany was forced upon you by the Americans, by the Allies, at the end of World War II. That wasn't something that you Germans chose. Now, maybe today that's what you would choose because we went over there and taught you. We have been propagandizing you. We have been occupying your country now for the last 50 years or more, 60 years. Now, you Germans didn't choose that government. You chose in 1933 a dictatorship. In 1918, you had a monarchy. And we imposed upon you a democracy. And you rejected the democracy and selected a dictatorship. And then we put an end to that dictatorship. We said, now you Germans are going to get this democracy thing down pat. And we've left troops there ever since. Now, I don't sit here and argue with you, but I'm just sitting here telling you that national captivity is what we Americans are faced with. I suspect it'll probably be the Chinese. be my guess. That's number 10. Now, there's 28 of these penalties or punishments, and you ought to be aware of that. Somebody ought to tell you that, hey, listen, you want to practice witchcraft? You want to practice some of these other... It doesn't have to be a capital felony. You Germans didn't all get killed, you know. We didn't come over there and kill every German. We just came over there and occupied your country, and we're directing your operations and telling you this is the way this is going to work. Now, you Europeans are getting kind of uppity. Well, we Americans, we've been noticing you Frenchmen over there getting kind of uppity, and you Germans are getting uppity. And we got a way to deal with uppity people. Number 11, loss of blessings. You know, there's certain benefits that you receive by practicing these laws in Scripture. And then when you violate those laws in Scripture, you lose those benefits. Kind of like you United Airlines pilots. You know, you had this pension benefit program, which was just taken away from you. So you had this blessing that you were entitled to, and now your God, United Airlines, took it away from you. Lost your blessings. Number 12, you get fines, restitution, sore sickness, disease can sometimes come as a penalty. Now, I told you about this thing of wearing mixed fabrics that interferes with your electrical aura. What diseases does it cause? I don't know. Well, and if you don't know what diseases it causes, then how come you're telling us not to do it? Because God, your Creator, told you not to do it. He probably knows more than George Gordon. That guy's probably smarter than I am. You know, he's been around forever. He said in the Scripture, if you can believe him, nobody does, but I mean, if you could believe him, he says, I'm without beginning and I'm without end. This guy says, I'm eternal. I've been here forever. So I just wanted to report to you that George Gordon is not eternal, has not been here forever. I've only been here for 70 years or less, a little less than 70 years. I don't know everything. And I kind of figured that the guy that's been here forever probably knows more than I do. And just because I can't tell you the answer to that doesn't mean that it isn't true or that you ought not to listen. I just thought I'd throw this out. Not that I'm going to preach to you and tell you, hey, you shouldn't eat pig. I don't give a rat's ass whether you eat pig or not. I'm just suggesting that maybe you listen to your Creator because maybe He knows rats aren't so good to eat. I just point that out to you. Now I'm just pointing out to you that there's no such thing as a crime without a punishment, because if there was, it wouldn't be a crime. It would be a suggestion. If your old dad says, I'm suggesting that you go to bed because it's 8 o'clock, and you give him the finger and you tell him, I ain't going to bed. And he says, well, okay, son, whatever you think's right, it's okay. I didn't come from that kind of family. My old man said, go to bed. It was, yes, sir. And you better be up and on your feet, moving. Because if you just moved slow, it could bring down the wrath of old dad. I did that one time. Old dad said, he said, boy, he used to call me boy. He said, boy, come here. And so I've been watching some dunce on TV, you know, like when TV came into view about 1952 or 4 or something. And I kind of sauntered over there kind of slow. He's laying on the couch watching me respond. He came off that couch like Superman. And then he grabbed me, threw me into the wall. I bounced off the wall, fell on the floor, and before I could look up, he had his belt off and he was just beating the living hell out of me. Now that tells you why I turned out the way I did. See? Child abuse. As people would say, see, you were abused as a child and you turned out to be a right-wing lunatic fanatic. Well, okay, maybe that's got some merit, maybe it doesn't. But I learned one thing. When my old dad said, boy, come here, it was, you better have your feet in motion in short order. And don't give the old man the finger, because it's going to hurt real bad if you do. So I want to point that out to you, because this thing of national captivity, loss of your blessings, sore, sickness, disease, and plague don't feel real good. They ain't going to feel real good. And those are the penalties that you get for the violation of these laws. And I just thought I'd share that with you because, you know, a lot of times people will call the law school and they're in pain, which is why we're opening up a school, a new school here that deals with disease. which is one of the penalties that you people are paying. If you've got disease, you are paying a penalty. Disease is a penalty for broken law. You need to find out what law you're breaking, kid. Now, my old dad, he didn't make any bones about it. He says, walking real slow when I tell you to come here is a broken law called disrespect for your parents, which violates one of the Ten Commandments that says, honor your father and mother. And my old daddy believed in that fifth commandment. And, you know, when you walked slow, then that meant you're giving the old man the finger, which means that that makes him real angry. And so when old dad gets real angry, he gets real mean. And then there's pain, heartache, suffering, gnashing of teeth, and tears that follow. Now, there's a couple of chapters here in the scripture I ought to point out to you. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 come into play here. There's a penalty called swelled belly, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, life for life, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. The loss of your slaves, the city of refuge, and the lake of fire. Now, there's 28 total punishments. Some of them are capital penalties. One of them ends in termination of life forever. I mean, there's some heavy-duty penalties over here, and every one of these laws in the Bible has attached to it one or more of these 28 penalties. And they don't any of them feel real good. Hell, just the loss of your blessings. I pointed this out. We are living in an era now of big business and fascist corporate government. And the fascist corporate government taking over now is cutting out pensions and benefits. United Airlines is just one of many. If you're sitting there with pensions and benefits, they're going to be taken away from you. You got that? The loss of your blessings isn't going to make you feel real good. Now, I don't have any pension, and I don't have any benefits, so they were never taken away from me, so I never lost anything, because I never had the blessing to start with. I've got something else that's in its place that I think is a little better, called money. M-O-N-E-Y. I think that it's better to have money than benefits. Now, you know, you can make your own choices in life. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. I'm just here to suggest to you, just here to point out and report to you that there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty, and that there are real penalties out here, and what your preacher's been telling you are lies. He is a lying sack of manure. And your president, and your congressman, and about half the people in the news media, maybe most of the people, but at least half of them in the news media, are liars and have been lying to you for years and years. And you're suffering a lot of penalties. Like the income tax is the penalty for not tithing. I mean, you can make up your mind that you're going to pay God 10% or you're going to pay the United States government 33%. I mean, you know, it's a choice that you have to make. Americans had that choice in 1992 and 96, and they chose 33% tax to the U.S. government. God bless you, get after it. Now, I looked at that problem, and I said to myself, hell, I'd just as soon give God 10% as to give George Bush 33%. And I'll just take the 23% difference and spend it on wild women and song and Marlboro cigarettes. If nothing else, I'll blow it on airplane gas rather than give it to Halliburton in Iraq. But, you know, that's your choice to make in life. Make your choice and get after it. But there's no such thing now as a penalty that didn't have behind it a crime, some broken law that you got involved in that you didn't know about. You could be that 14-year-old girl that's got this sexually transmitted disease because your sex education teacher didn't explain to you about thou shalt not commit adultery. I'll tell you a quick story here. A guy called me the other day from Nevada. He's a rancher out there in Nevada. And he's having problems here with the Department of Agriculture and the BLM and other government agencies out there that are in the process of driving all of you ranchers, all of you landowners off the land to implement the first plank to the Communist Manifesto. That's the objective. That's what we're doing. That's the point. That's the purpose. And he said, I'm calling you, Mr. Gordon, because I need a little help. I got a neighbor down the road that's being evicted. from his land over here by the BLM. He got an adverse decision out of the judicial system. Now listen to him. I said, listen, does this farmer down the road, this rancher down the road, does he practice the 15 agricultural laws of the Mosaic Law? And he said, no. I said, okay. Does he practice the Sabbaths and the holy days? No. Does he have a mind to practice the law of God and the 15 agricultural laws? And he said, no. I said, there's no help for the guy. None. Because the penalty for you ranchers and farmers, all of you ranchers out there in the West that are being evicted from the public lands out there, or the alleged public lands, you're being evicted under a statute in Leviticus 26, verse 34. Let me give you the citation here. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 34. And where it says, then shall the land enjoy your Sabbaths, as long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy your Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. You ranchers are being evicted because you won't practice the land Sabbaths. Got that? Now listen, there's nothing that I can do to save you people from your own folly. No, you want to go down to Flo's whorehouse, you get a dose of AIDS, herpes, or PD? I can't do anything for you. I'm a crummy reporter. Hell, you need a doctor. You know? You need Mercy Medical Center. You need antibiotics. You got to have some real help. Nothing I can do for a rancher that won't practice the agricultural laws. That's the bottom line. I told this young man that. And I said, by the way, do you practice the Sabbath? He said, yeah. I said, do you practice the 15 agricultural laws? Well, some of them. I said, do you practice the holy days? He says, no. I said, well, you know, there's the same penalty that's going to come down on you. So pack your bags and get ready to be evicted. Because the creator of the universe, God Almighty, is going to throw your you-know-what right off of his ground. And there's a contested issue of fact as to who owns it. But right now, the United States of America claims that they own it. And that they're going to evict you because they want it for their own purposes. Mainly, they want the water for Las Vegas. But anyway, both of these ranchers can solve their problems. They can practice these laws. They can eliminate these penalties. They can reestablish themselves on the land. In fact, one of the blessings that you get for practicing these agricultural laws for all you farmers out there is, I will establish you in the land, and you will never be removed. Now, you like that for a blessing or a benefit. I'll establish you in the land and you'll never be removed. Now, you don't practice these agricultural laws, you can rest assured that the United States of America, through the BLM and the Department of Agriculture, will remove you from the land, pursuant to the statute in Leviticus 26, verses 34 and 35. Because the land is going to enjoy her Sabbaths, whether you like it or not. So I can't forgive your sins, kids. I can only point out to you that this is what's going wrong, and this is why you're paying that penalty. So tuck it away in your heart. There's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. And if you're paying the penalty, you've got a broken law, and you need to identify it and correct it. That's all. Just correct it. I'm about out of time, so I got to remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. 8 branches of law in total. And keep in mind that the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and that all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Hey, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.